We're broadcasting from KCUR in Kansas City today as President Trump and Republicans in Washington continue their push for tax cuts at the federal level. We've been reporting on what happened in Kansas. The state passed massive tax cuts in 2012 that caused such a budget crisis that Republicans in the legislature turned against the Republican governor and undid many of the tax cuts. One of the Republican lawmakers who led that fight was Melissa Rooker, who represents suburban Kansas City in the Kansas House of Representatives. Rooker has been an advocate for public schools, which were hit particularly hard after the tax cuts, so we met in a new high school in Johnson County. What went wrong with those tax cuts?
Well, when they were first proposed, the governor's original plan in 2012 included a menu of things that would pay for the income tax cuts themselves. But they were all, fairly unpalatable items, abolishing itemized deductions and stripping away different elements of taxpayer exemptions that the lawmakers rebelled against in the Senate. They were all stripped out. The bill passed without those pay-fors, but with many more tax cuts embedded in the bill. And so it became more expensive, and there was less work done to pay for them. It passed the Senate originally on the promise from the governor that those deficiencies would be fixed in conference committee. And instead of going through the normal process, procedures were used to push it through.
Were there also promises that it would essentially pay for itself?
Absolutely.
Because the economy would grow so much that it wouldn't be a problem?
The famous quote, the governor himself went on a press tour to promote the plan after it passed, and he called it a shot of adrenaline to the heart of the Kansas economy. It was Art Laffer, it was Stephen Moore, it was all of the same players that we're seeing today pushing the same concept that tax cuts will pay for themselves. So we had dynamic models that were shown that showed explosive growth and it would be great for the state. The static traditional budget models told us what would happen. People chose not to believe them. They wanted to believe the pie in the sky version.
When did you realize that the tax cuts were not working?
Well, I knew at the time. I was not elected and I didn't have a vote on them in 2012, but I was watching very carefully as a parent advocate for K-12 schools. The facts were there, but the rhetoric that was used, the conservative ideology of tax cuts. Well, that's not even conservative. That's not fair to call that conservative. I think it's somewhat radical, the ideology used to pass these cuts.
And what were the politics like for you as a Republican saying this is the wrong approach?
The truly conservative arguments against these tax cuts is it forced us to borrow hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars, through our ability to issue state bonds. We delayed payments. We shirked our obligations. None of that is truly conservative fiscal management. So, no one wants bloated government. I don't want people on the state's payroll that aren't contributing productively. But there's a certain level of staffing that our agencies need. There's expertise they ought to have. And, inflation affects state government like it does the private sector. So as costs were increasing, we had nothing to work with. Our bond rating was reduced 3 times. So as a Republican, talking about responsible fiscal management, I had no problem suggesting that these tax cuts were a problem and we needed to change course.
And you did change course.
We did.
How did that finally happen?
It took a lot. It took a couple of election cycles to make it happen. The legislature began to change in 2014. The advocacy groups around the state began to pull together because I think those constituencies began to see that there was a pretty similar list of lawmakers voting against the interests of those groups in terms of not being willing to right the fiscal house of the state. And the message, the education of the voters, the message that was pushed began to be a lot more cohesive. And bottom line, the cuts to state government began to affect people personally.
More so in schools than any other area or across the board?
I think across the board. We have waiting lists for people who have a family member that needs, a disabled family member. There is a waiting list, I think it runs to 7 or 8 years long to wait for those services. The loss of accreditation to our state mental hospital. Those issues don't touch a particular political sector. That transcends. So you start having families affected because of lack of services. Public safety. We had counties in the state with not a single highway patrol officer on the beat. We had trouble staffing. Riots in our prisons. The foster care system in our state, it's an unbelievable disaster right now. We have had some high-profile cases, children's lives lost, children themselves lost from the system. We don't have the people available to assign to those cases to try and find them and get them back because we're so short-staffed.
Do you think taxes are going to have to go up again in Kansas?
Well, we just had a Supreme Court ruling. The state lost the school finance case, and this, I think, was the last layer of appeal.
The court said that the state is not adequately funding
the
schools.
We're not adequately funding. We missed the mark by, they didn't name the number, but they pointed to the studies that direct where spending should be, and we are basically at minimum $600 million short of where we should be funding our schools. So that will be the main feature of the upcoming session is how we deal with that, because there's no appealing this.
When we spoke with the lieutenant governor, who's going to become the governor, he was very noncommittal about what was going to need to be done, whether taxes would have to go up or there would have to be cuts.
I would challenge anyone who's proposing that we solve this by cutting the budget to point to where there is still room to cut our state budget. We have tried, and we have had, I would remind people, because the knock on using Kansas as an example is that, well, they never made the spending cuts they should have. We actually have cut the budget 9 times. What's left to cut will cause demonstrable harm.
As you know, we're having this debate now in Washington because President Trump and the Republicans in Congress would like to pass what President Trump calls massive tax cuts, which includes cutting the pass-through business tax, which is something that was done in Kansas. What would your advice be right now to lawmakers in Washington about what to do on tax cuts?
I would say the lessons we drew here in Kansas were that you need to have metrics in place to ensure that if you are cutting taxes in order to create new jobs, that there are some requirements that the recipients of those tax cuts have to meet in order to receive them. There has to be demonstrable hiring in order to receive the cut would be my number one recommendation. I would be very careful that you don't cut so deeply that there are required budget cuts that do harm. I think we have to be very careful about cavalierly throwing out budget cuts as something that can be done without hurting real people in their everyday lives.
There are going to be some listeners who hear you, and they'll be surprised to hear that you're a Republican and not a Democrat, given what you're talking about.
Well, again, I would point to the fact that I do believe in managing our money very responsibly. Borrowing, delaying payments, all of that is really reckless fiscal management. I am a Republican because I do think that there is an appropriate role for government in our lives. It's a civic philosophy that government has a proper role. It needs to be contained and not intrude too much on our personal lives. I share those beliefs, but there is a proper role for a functioning government, and that is what I stand for, which I think is a very Republican idea.
How do people treat you now in Kansas, given your role in undoing what the governor did?
My own constituents, there's a percentage that probably aren't happy, but I go out and get treated to strangers coming up to thank me. They recognize me and appreciate the work. My actual constituents knew what I wanted to do, voted me into office, and appreciate the fact that I did what I said. Americans for Prosperity, on the other hand, is trying to gin up opposition. So they've started a year ahead of our actual campaign season. They're dropping negative postcards in districts of all of us who voted to override the governor on the tax plan. So they're trying to create that pushback, but it doesn't exist naturally because people are pretty pragmatic in Kansas.
That's Melissa Rucker, who represents the 25th District of Kansas in the state's House. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Americans for Prosperity, which she just mentioned there, is the political organization run by the Koch brothers, who are based in Wichita, Kansas. You can find more of our reporting on the Kansas tax cuts at hereandnow.org. And by the way, today in Washington, Congress approved a joint budget resolution that's a critical step to pave the way for tax cuts. It allows Republicans to write a tax bill that only needs 51 votes to pass the Senate.